This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is our fifth webinar, alhamdulillah, fifth one in the series since Ramadan began, which if you think about it, was only last week. And these have been back to back and they have been fantastic. I think those of you who've been joining us every week, mashallah, I've really enjoyed it. Anyway, as a host, I've been learning and growing, listening and participating and hosting some wonderful, wonderful guests. And inshallah, today's guest, mashallah, needs no introduction and we'll come on to him very, very shortly. Let me just go through some of the formalities, especially as some of you, in fact, majority of you for this webinar, or I believe for the first time joining in. So we have lots of newcomers, mashallah, who are registering for this series. So let me just go through some of the formalities, inshallah ta'ala. There's a disclaimer for the views of our external speaker. It's solely theirs, and they do not represent the views of Knowledge to Action. So, Ustad Idris, behave, please. Don't get me into trouble.
Okay, I'll try. I'm a naughty boy, you know that.
Absolutely. So, alhamdulillah, I'm your host. My name is Waqas. I head up an organization called Ilm to Amal. Many of you will know this, and for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we are bringing this series, The Role of Parents and Educators in to Nurture World Changes in a Changing World, for the first time this Ramadan, alhamdulillah, and we're doing that in partnership with an organization called Islamic Relief. About Ilm to Amal, if you've not heard about Ilm to Amal, and those of you who don't know what Ilm to Amal actually means, it means knowledge to action. It's Arabic transliteration in English. So knowledge to action, we specialize in character development and life skills education, particularly for disadvantaged communities in the UK and also globally. There's our contact details. You can view our products on our store, some downloadables, free downloadables on there. There's also resources which you can purchase, which help the charity. Yes, we are an educational charity. I keep forgetting to mention that all the time. You can go onto our website, but also check out our handles on social media for the work that we do and the impact that we're trying to create in the current and future generations. Okay, for those of you who might have missed, very quickly, those of you might have missed the fourth webinar, which was just on Sunday. It was a fantastic webinar. It was a very, very good webinar, mashallah. For those of you joined, I'm sure you will agree. That was on personality types and love languages as part of emotional intelligence module in this series. So we have seven webinars. This is the fifth one. The fourth one, so every webinar follows on from the previous one. And as you can see, it was a very good conversation that we had with our guest, Mariam Javed, who's a parenting coach. And these are basically the sort of overview of what the kind of things we covered around emotional intelligence, which are really important. And I guess the main one for us, I mean, they're all important, but the main one was about number five, emotional intelligence is critical for a healthy marriage, effective parenting and teaching. So in other words, knowledge of yourself and knowledge of others in the situations is very, very important. We also looked at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's remarkable qualities as a leader. And this webinar, number five, today's webinar, links very well to that webinar on Sunday and follows on very nicely in terms of emotional intelligence part two, or even leadership. So as I mentioned, there are seven parts to this webinar series, and they're all based on the research that we have been conducting in the UK with 1,000 teenagers and 1,000 parents pre-Ramadan. So up in the last 6 months, we've been doing this research in focus groups, surveys, meeting young people, meeting parents and educators soon, and sort of understanding the underlying issues, what's going on in their world and in their life. And these seven modules were the key burning issues that were coming out of that survey, and we thought it'll be good to do a series on this. So moving forwards, today's webinar is actually the one that you can see there. We are on, the last one was number four, and today's is number five, leadership styles or parental leadership styles, which approach works best for your child. It should be an interesting conversation. And just before I introduce my honorable guest, I just want to go through the format. It's an interactive conversation. The slides are there for a guide. We may or may not use them. So inshallah, we're going to break this up into four parts. We've got conscious parenting, and then we have, so what does that research tell us about conscious parenting? What do we really need the science? We look at parenting leadership styles in terms of what are the four types the research has given us over the years. What are the pros and cons of each approach? We will, inshallah, go into the juicy part of this webinar, which is the actual part three. They're all juicy. They're all juicy. But number three is where we will actually look at the scenarios and the different types. For example, I've got five scenarios. We could have lots more. But five types of scenarios, what kind of leadership style that we learn in part two would be applicable there? And again, this is an opinion of Ustad Idris, our guest speaker, who's very experienced in this area. You may have other experiences. Let's have a conversation in part three about the different types of leadership styles that can be applicable in different scenarios and, of course, to different types of children. And then part four, I think it's really important we have a self-awareness about our own background, upbringing, circumstances, our parental styles, our views. And there's some really good tools now that are really available, you know, available online. Very, very easy for you to work out your parental style, mashallah. And without further ado, you know the ground rules. Alhamdulillah, we've been doing this for five webinars. Inshallah, if you've got a comment, please put it in chat. And if you have a question, please put it in Q&A.
Okay, yes, baby.
Okay, that's brilliant. Can we have the recording of the previous ones? Yes, we are working on. So this question is going to be coming up again and again and again. And it's a great question. We are recording the entire series to create a library for you to, inshallah, enjoy, you know, be that as parents or as educators, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm just going to introduce my guest now. Assalamu alaikum, Ustad. Once again, how are you? Ustad Idris Khamisa.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm so excited. It's always good to interact with you, your institution, and the great work that you are doing. And I'm really looking forward to this webinar. And my earnest prayer and hope is this, that we go back reflecting on who we are and effecting the change, because it becomes futile that you say why that man is not only handsome, he's so stimulating, yet you go home and you do not confront your true self. So my prayer is that your home becomes a sanctuary, a place of happiness, not a site of contestation and struggle, that your kids love you, you love them, and indeed you leave a legacy.
Brilliant. Very nicely. That's an absolute beautiful kickoff and a nice teeing. You play golf by any chance, Ustad?
I used to. The only thing I got right was my practice swing, you know.
Mashallah. So Ustad Idris, for those who do not know Ustad Idris, mashallah, he has been instrumental in my personal life. He's been instrumental in the life of many leaders across the world. I think he's traveled to, 50 countries where he's done his work all over the world. We're very, very fortunate to have Ustad Idris join us, alhamdulillah, in a topic that I know he's very, very passionate about and also very well positioned to commentate on. So Ustad Idris, the background, for those of you tuning in the screen, tuning in for the first time, it's on the screen. Mashallah, is an internationally renowned consultant in education and human development. He's been in education a long time, and he left a long time ago as well, because he was pursuing his passion for human development outside of schools. And mashallah, I mean, he doesn't need an introduction, and you can search him, and he's involved with lots of different organizations across the world, alhamdulillah. But he was one of the founding members of the Association of Muslim Schools in South Africa, which is the umbrella body for the schools there. He's also an advisory member of IBER. Why he's here today is because he is the parenting expert and marriage and counselor, mashallah. Ever since I met him, I've started to understand the marriage dilemmas a lot better, manage them a lot better. But for us at Ilm to Amal, he, amongst very few people, was there at the right beginning for us, and was the right, when you have a crazy radical idea about how you want to change the world, 98-99% of the world will think you're a crackpot. There'll be 1-2% of the people, gifted people, who will not see you as a crackpot. They'll see you as a genius. They'll open the doors to you. They'll embrace you. They'll blow hope into your ideas when actually you had doubts. Ustad Idris, mashallah, is one of those blessed few people that I turned to very early in the project of Ilm to Amal. And I'm greatly, as we all are, indebted to you, Ustad. Okay, so moving on. Alhamdulillah, we are going to go into, let's kick off straight away, Ustaz. Let's get into it because we are on the 15 minutes into the webinar. We have just over an hour now to really nail this as much as possible and give a good interactive conversation with our guests, our participants, inshallah. I want to start on part one, firstly, before we race into the styles by the work of Dr. Diana Baumrind. So conscious parenting. What does the research, well, firstly, what is conscious parenting? What does the research tell us that we know? And I guess the ultimate question is, do we really need the science?
Yes, you know, I think it's very important that we do as much research because parenting is a lifelong thing. And those that are aware, those that seek help, those who look back at our Islamic legacy, those that read, inevitably become far more effective parents than those who do not. And nothing is more beautiful than to live in a home where you have around you your children who love you, who agree with you, or sometimes they even disagree with you. But throughout that experience, there's a lot of respect. Now, the thing about conscious parenting is like anything. When you're conscious about everything, about life, for example, you become acutely aware about your environment. You become acutely aware about the environment at home. And so what you do essentially is that you become aware of each child and you realize that each child is different and I need to adopt a particular way with each child because I always say that you could need to treat children with equity, not with equality in that sense, because the needs are different. So in other words, you treat them as individuals, you look at them, you show them empathy, you are conscious. It's not about basing everything on your expectations of the children, it's rather your own expectations as parents. You know, they say it's very easy to be a mom and dad, but it is not so easy to be a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. The mother and father part requires nurturing. It requires demonstration of affection. It requires that you really be the model example for your children. And in the same token, what you really do is you are able to manage their expectations. In other words, it is not, you don't come there and there's no mechanical engagement. Mm. It's about being conscious, is being aware. Most importantly, the word I need to use that you must be present, emotionally, physically present. So children themselves know they are around people who love them. They're around people who shelter them. They're around people who care.
Beautifully put, nicely put, mashallah. So that's fantastic. Sorry, Ustad, whilst you were talking, there was just in the chat, some people saying that the sound audio could be crackling a little bit for some people. For others are saying it's absolutely fine. So I'm not sure what's happening at your end, but without digressing too much, let's keep going, inshallah. And please, folks, if the sound is difficult, just try your best. To listen to. I mean, I could just make out what you were saying, alhamdulillah, but there was a little bit of crackle. I could hear some cackling. Okay. So we have questions coming in from the audience in pre-advance of the, pre-event. In advance of the event, we have questions coming in from parents. If anybody would like to ask questions, and I really encourage you to have this opportunity, seize it and ask the questions that you want to. Try to keep them concise and relevant to the slides, if you could, please, and short. One question that we had is parenting something that we can be naturally... In fact, I'm going to throw four questions your way, Ustad, in this particular part. Is parenting something we can be naturally good at? And if others want to ask questions during this, and rather than, you know, you want to raise your hand and you want to have the mic, just let us know, raise your hand, and we'll get you in at the earliest opportunity. So... This is parenting something that we can naturally good at, or is this something that we, you know, need to freestyle? Or I mean, one of the questions I often get told about is that regarding the research is our grandparents, Ustad, They never sat in these webinars, and they never really, you know, participated in any formal training or anything of that kind. So there wasn't any of that, you know, I'm having a problem with my, unfortunately, with my, there we go. So our parents and grandparents didn't have any of this training or awareness of the research that we are talking about or we were drawing on. So, and they did absolutely fine, right? They raised our parents superbly fine. And then, you know, we turned out fine as a second generation, and third generation seems to be okay. So why do we actually need to know anything about conscious parenting and what you've been talking about there? Why do we need to be aware of those things?
It is so critical. The world has changed. We are living in a different world. At one time, parents themselves were often the primary influences of the hearts and minds of children. Yet, you know, far as psychologists are concerned, the first 5 years itself is very, very critical in terms of shaping attitudes and values of children. But today's children are living in a different world. They say it takes a whole village to bring up a child. There was a time when you showed respect to your uncle. He was like your conscience, the grandfather, the shopkeeper, the teacher, all of them were people of authority. And you made sure you never thumb your nose to them, you showed them respect, and they could chastise and reprimand you. But we're living at a time in a nuclear family where even parents themselves, husband and wife, are not in sync in terms of how to bring up the child. So that is also problematic. Now with social media and everything else that goes with it, you find that we are living in a different world. So therefore, today's parents have to be far more vigilant. They need to be far more active. For example, I came across this one saying, as it were, when Sheikh Yawad made a presentation, he came across it in a newspaper. They say if you miss a beat, you miss a whole generation. Suddenly you find many parents are saying, my gosh, my son was so obedient, so obsequious, and suddenly he's become so defiant. So therefore, today, in terms of the different isms that kids are exposed to, you require active involvement as parents. The world has changed. It's a different world altogether.
Ustad, there's a question here from Yamin Sheikh. I think it's probably good to take this question maybe here at this stage, if you don't mind. Why do children rebel against parents and how to deal with them? It's a very general question. There could be many reasons. But in your experience, what do you think are the top reasons for why children rebel against parents and how do you deal with it?
Yeah. Now, children rebel against parents for a number of reasons. They rebel against parents because many of them, you'll find, have a sense of insecurity, number one. They rebel against parents because they have low self-esteem. They rebel against parents because many of them might have friends who themselves have a particular relationship with their own father. They rebel against parents because they are not satisfied, they're unhappy at home. So it's very, very important for us to identify that. Sometimes kids are going through a particular phase. So it's important. You know, psychologists say that kids rebel for six reasons, right? And which I'll share. Number one is they feel a sense of insecurity. They've got a low self-esteem. They have a sense of inadequacy. They do it sometimes out of vengeance. Sometimes they do it because of negative peer pressure. Sometimes they do it just for the sake of excitement. So you've got to look at the antecedent. You've got to understand the underlying reasons. Sometimes as parents, we suppress a symptom without understanding what are the underlying reasons. Sometimes the child could be crying out for help. And it's very, very important for us to understand that. You know?
Absolutely. So we had, that's fantastic. Six reasons there, Ustad, you gave. Someone's raised their hand. SP, would you like? I think SP's raised their hand. Zara, could you let SP in, please? We have somebody who's raised their hand. Okay, just whilst somebody's raised their hand, we'll see. There's another question here, Ustad. You mentioned six reasons there. Should everyone become a parent? Are there some people who don't have the temperament to be a parent? I'll take this question and then we'll move on to the presentation and take the other ones in the rest of the presentation.
Yeah. You know what? I think parenting is a natural outcome of marriage. And it's important because the critical aspect is this. that in any given scenario, that any, if you have three children may adopt three different parenting styles. Number one, a child might say, you know what, I never want to be like my father. He was too harsh. He might become completely indulgent. Another parent, another child may say, I want to be like my father. He had us under control. I want to be harsh. And the third person might say, you know what, I'm going to choose my own particular methodology. I learned many, many lessons from it. So I think it's important to understand that we are products of our environment. Our parents have shaped us in terms of our attitude and our values.
Okay, fantastic. Good points there, mashallah. Lots of other questions are coming through, and I want to make sure that, you know, I don't want your questions to be lost as a result of the conversation or the presentation. So, Sidra, I'll take a couple of questions now. Sidra Rashid, how can we become more conscious parents? I think you were alluding on that, Sheikh, and there's another one which says, how do we build that relationship where the children can turn to us as a parent, as a teacher, especially for teenagers? Now, that's we all accept that that's a difficult stage of parenting is when it gets to teenagers. So the question there is, how do we build that relationship where children can turn to us? And as a parent and teacher, especially for teenagers, how can they turn to us? How do we become more conscious in our parent? How do we become more conscious parents?
There are five things I would suggest. Number one, you've got to ensure that the environment at home is a place of love, where children experience your love, where you are able to demonstrate it. Often your father and mother will say, you know what, I love my kids. But if the children do not experience that love, that means you do not love them. That's important. Secondly, it's also very, very important to nurture the self-esteem, to enhance the self-esteem. And how do you do that? By doing the six A's: to accept them, to affirm them, to give them attention, to acknowledge them, to give them positive attributes, right? And also the one A escapes me, but I'll be back with the vengeance, right? So it's very, very important that they feel loved at home, right? And it's important that you begin to also have conversations with them. And when you have conversations, it must be authentic, it must be genuine. You must not be distracted, you must be present. The other thing that you need to do, you need to be an inspiration for your children. You need to be a widely read person, a person that is so important in the community. You cannot, for example, have high expectations of your children when you yourself, for example, are just flourishing in mediocrity. That's important. The other critical aspect, and I'm going to say this, and I want everyone to listen to this, and please, I love you all. When I speak to you with passion, it's not, I'm not chiding you, I just that I love you all, right? Parenting, and remember this, Sheikh Waqas, I mentioned this many times, and I like it. Sheikh, parenting is not so much your relationship with your child, but your relationship with your spouse. That is important. When couples show love and respect to each other, when they disagree agreeably, when you venerate your wife, you acknowledge her, you're promoting the institution of marriage. When couples do that, suddenly you'll find themselves respond accordingly. When you do not shout, you are polite and civil, kids will also grow up in that particular environment, right? So I think the important aspect, the bottom line is this year, that you need to create a culture at home. And the other things that we can speak about if you have the time, right? The three things that I like to speak about if you have the time: having a family routine, having family values, and having family goals. And if you do that, it will be great.
Mashallah, so much you have shared with us in that short time. We have questions, Ustad, from the audience. Just before I get into that, if you can't see my screen, just give me a shout, please, because I'm getting some comments saying that you can't see my screen. It's dark for some reason. So I've turned my video on and off, and I'm not sure what's happening. Okay, just bear with me. But you can hear me, right? You guys can hear me. You can see me now. Okay. Ustad, some people are asking about the six A's that you've just mentioned. There were five that we got, but I think the sixth one, most people didn't
get. You just show it to me, that thing. You just show me the six A's, then I'll tell you which one is missing.
All right, then.
I'm just trying you out to see if you're paying attention, you know.
Yeah, he's going to go into his teacher mode now.
So, do I have affection there?
I mean, Yameen, who's mashallah fantastic teacher, Muhammad Yameen from Birmingham. He's got thanks Yameen for being in the audience. He's got down accept. So they need to be accepted, affirm, attention, acknowledge, attribute. Is that right? Have we unlocked the sixth one?
Yes.
Have we unlocked the sixth one? The sixth one was a cracking joke. I could crack it for you, but I thought it was best if you say it. What's number six, Ustad?
Number six. Let me try again, right? Is acceptance, appreciation. You got appreciation?
Yeah, we got affirm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we got appreciation.
Appreciation, affirmation, acknowledgement.
Affirmation, acknowledgement, yep.
Attributes.
Attributes.
Attention.
Attention, right, okay. Yeah, okay. So his joke was, if you've been paying attention to the last five, number six is attention. All right, so we've got it there. I hope that was clear, guys. These are six.
And I just want to come to the one, especially on attributes, positive attributes. You got to understand that psychologists have said that 85% of what they hear from the parents is negative, like you're useless, and you know, I don't know why you were born, and so on and so forth. But if you give them positive attributes, for example, you say to Waqas, you say to your son or daughter, someday you're going to be a leader. That talk would lead to a child's self-talk. That is those talks that give them self-belief. It is very, very important, very, very critical. So it's 85%, yes, what parents say to kids is often negative. Like, no, negative. You cannot do it. Don't do this. And therefore, a critical thing is to change your command from being negative to positive. Instead of saying, don't shout, say, speak softly. Instead of saying, don't run, walk, please. You see a difference? Right? Yes. So it's important the language you use.
Yes, absolutely. Folks, you heard it there. 85, according to research that Ustad is citing, 85% of research has shown that 85% of what children hear between the mother and the father is negative. Just imagine the impact that has on their innocence and their mind, on their self-esteem, is what Ustad was talking about there, how to nurture self-esteem, right? Just imagine the impact that has. It's like watering a plant with toxic liquid, all right, or toxic water. That's what it's doing to a plant. Just imagine what it's doing to our children's brains. SubhanAllah, that's fascinating, I guess. Okay, so there's lots of other questions coming through. Inshallah, please can I just remind the audience to put the questions in the Q&A bank and the comments in the chat, please, if you don't mind, because I'm having to go back and forth and I lose the questions that are being put into the Q&A. There's one more, so that we'll take that very quickly. Can you still be a good parent to over 20 years kids? So in other words, children who are over 20, can you still be a good parent to them? How can they return? I'm sorry, I can't understand that question, but can you, I think what the question says is,
I have an idea.
Can you still be a good parent to 20 year olds?
Yeah, you know what? Firstly, many parents, you know, have lots of regrets about they could have done things differently. Sometimes the kids have gotten married and kids have particular attitudes. Sometimes it is one of negativity, you know, but I really believe in the power of forgiveness. You know, I think it's so important to call the family together and say to them, you know what, I did whatever I could and I know I made many mistakes. I want you to find it in your heart, the month of Ramadan, find it in your heart to forgive me. And I want to become a better father to you. And I'll be a father to you until I die. So I want to be a better father. And you know what? I don't want you to make the mistakes that I have made, because I want you to be a better father than I did. This kind of emotional connection is so, so important. I deal with situations in which there's such a hiatus between a father and a son or whatever. And to bring them back together is such a beautiful emotional thing. So we must never, ever give up. And you can always make dua. I say, Ya Allah, You can look back at what I did. You can turn around my negativity to positivity. Ya Allah, the dua of parents are accepted. So you can be. And remember, as they grow older, it is important that you play a supportive role. You mustn't be overzealous and appearing to interfere in their life, you know.
Absolutely. Very nicely put, Ustad, mashallah. The anonymous attendee who's just messaged on the Q&A saying that I agree with the 6 years and I'm going to try my very, very best, inshallah. If I could take a question towards the end, I think that to rush that would be an injustice. Thank you very much for your honesty. I feel in the same shoes as you. I find it incredibly hard sometimes to resolve the negative talk that can come out, and we're all human, it happens. But I guess one thing I would say, and this is the essence of these webinars, and it's the ethos, the philosophy of knowledge to action or ilm to amal, is that we don't just learn for the sake of, it's not edutainment. We're not here just for entertaining ourselves through facts and, you know, information. We learn to practice, and the best way to learn to practice is learning through practice. That's the philosophy that we have built this organization, and that's where we think knowledge or learning is most impactful, when it's experiential, when you learn to practice. So one thing I will say to our folks here, to all our listeners, is let's take a stock of our life over the next 24 hours. You can do it for the last 24 hours if you want, but let's take a stock so we're consciously parenting over the next 24 hours. And let's just look at the amount of anything that constitutes negative talk in and around our children. Start with you and your wife or your spouse or your husband. Just look consciously over the next 24 hours of how much negative talk there is. It's a bit of a biased exercise because you're going in consciously now. You're going to be a little bit, guard's going to be up. We're also in the month of Ramadan, which means we don't have the waswasa of the shaitan. So, but it's something to be conscious of. I think you will know of all the days that you live throughout the seasons, whether you are in that 85% or whether you are amongst the blessed 15% who don't, you know, who have positive talk, I guess. But I'm sure we have a little bit of both. So please do be conscious and just assess yourself if that is you. So we'll have a look at that, inshallah. Moving on, and we will take the questions, inshallah, throughout the whole. I'm gonna stop the share because people are complaining that they can't see my screen. Is that still the case, admin? Is it still dark? Mrs. Zaman, is it still dark on your side for me? I'm not sure what's happened here. It came back. I can still see. Brilliant. Okay, so I'm not going to touch anything. And the screen share is back on again. Right, this brings us nicely onto something that I guess we all can have a say on. Earlier, I asked about the parental leadership styles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life. We know from the seerah, the way he was with his beautiful children. There's lots of history in the way we know the way Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, both as a parent and also as a leader of the Sahaba Ajma'in. So which parenting leadership styles, folks, do you think, and I'm just going to throw this out, Ustad, to give us a break, to let the audience in, which parental leadership styles do you think the Prophet adopted with either his children, his family members, or his the Sahaba that he was, his companions? Which ones can you share with us? Anyone's that come to mind? Anything that you can think of? So he was very kind. Kindness was his approach. Any others want to say? He was very gentle, right? So rifq is live. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves rifq. He's very gentle with his approach. Patience, merciful. So people are citing his character virtues, I guess, Ustad, in terms of his loving, his kindness, his warmth. He's very emotionally intelligent. We know from Sayyidina, we know from Anas radiallahu anhu, where he said he would not reprimand us, you know, in a way. He wouldn't tell us off, admonish us, especially in public. He would overlook mistakes. He would stick to his word. He was forgiving. These are fantastic things that are coming from, mashallah, Asma, Yasser, Omar, Sajid Butt. Hey, Sajid Butt said, I like it, Ustad.
Right? I like it.
Caring, compassionate, considerate. He's very much values-based. Thank you, Maulana Minhaj. That was fantastic. And he was very encouraging. So, Ustad, anything you want to say on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that our audience, mashallah, has also reflected on?
I think all what you said is true. But the important thing is this, that he never chided or scolded children, as it were. He never beat any child. His empathy was incredible. He understood children. In fact, when he saw children, he was on his foes. He had eye contact with them. And what was he saying? You are important. But the one thing that is missing, especially today, is the fact that our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very demonstrative about his feelings. He was very, very expressive about his feeling. It's important that what if one thing we can learn from here is that when couples, when they meet each other, husband and wife, the first thing the husband comes home, we say, Assalamu alaikum, my shush babalina. Where are you, my daddy? And you give her a nice hug. Do it in front of the kids. Do it in front of the children, right? And you also need to do it with your children, because children must grow up in a home where there is love, no matter what languages of love you're talking about. But the physical tactile, the touch is so important, because when kids grow up in that, they are able to express their feelings, they're able to demonstrate that love, and they're able to be great spouses in a marriage.
Absolutely, Ustaz, absolutely. Empathy was a good one. I think many, Salma Rahman, mashallah, you put to mindful, which is very similar. So empathy, we talked about emotional intelligence at length in the last one. So alhamdulillah, we can see lots of things. I think somebody cited it. I think it was you, Salma, who mentioned it. When he was a grandfather, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would play with Hassan and Hussein, he would be the host. And, you know, the affection that he would show with children was truly amazing. The way he would acknowledge his daughter when she would walk through the door.
Yes, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. There's so many examples that we can actually cite.
There are many examples.
There's so many.
The one example, I'll also, there are many. The one example, once he was talking to a group of Sahaba, right? Mm. And the one father, one Sahaba, had his son on one lap. Mm. And then when his daughter came, he made the daughter sit on the side. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded him, don't you have the other lap? Just how beautiful is that? Look at how beautiful. Man. You get so emotional that our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so aware, so conscious, so aware. He understood children. He understood their feelings. And that's very important.
Thank you so much. That's a beautiful example, Ustaz. I mean, considering that in my survey, lots of girls, young girls, have been citing gender inequality as a root cause of their crisis. You know, I think that's a pertinent example. That's not something that's new. That's something that's been going for some time. Situational leadership, Qasbai, what do you bring to every scenario to the maximum khair and barakat from it? Mashallah, that sounds like someone from Southampton, I noticed that. Right, okay, moving on. Now, is it possible to adopt more than one parenting approach, or do we just stick with one, right? And I think we all know the answer to that. A few of us would like to stick with one, and a few of us probably do stick with one. I think we find that we're going to move towards different approaches. I saw this blurb, and I thought I'll put it here because it's quite pertinent and relevant to this example. But your thoughts, Ustad, in terms of adopting more than one approach?
Yeah, the point that Sajid made is true. Yeah. Every situation is different. You have a consistent style. It's important. Otherwise, if you are inconsistent, you know, you really spoil the children. They have no idea in terms of your expectations of them, number one. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to adopt a particular approach to a particular situation, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, for example, you are the merciful, caring person. Sometimes, you know, when your children do some kind of mischief, right? You cannot ignore it. At the same time, you cannot adopt a draconian punitive laws at home, right? Mm-hmm. But how do you do that? But the very important thing that I want to speak about is the fact that one of the four reasons cited for divorces, can you believe this, is when the mother and father have a completely divergent parenting style. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I first came across it, I said, wow. When I began to reflect on it, I said, wow, yes, it is true. For example, let us say the mother tells the son, you know, you have done this wrong, and I'm unhappy about it. I'm surprised at you. I'll have to speak to daddy. When daddy comes, he says, leave him, man. He's a growing child. And you keep on doing that. So she realizes, I'm getting no joy, my partner, and this can create a lot of frustration, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. Kim Malone, I put a question. Sorry, Kim, for the delay. The five things to build a relationship with your kids. What you cited earlier, Ustad, you said five things to build a relationship with your kids. One was ensure love, a place of love in the environment, nurture self-esteem, be present. Those three I got, and there was two missing. What were the other two? Do you know?
The other is, if I may give you another few, yeah. The one is, I said that the parents must be the role models.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the other important thing is this, that you must encourage in your home, encourage in your home a place of excellence and
right.
learning. Right, where children are not afraid to make mistakes. They mustn't be walking on eggshells, you know.
So nurturing a growth mindset is what Ustad is saying. So nurture a growth mindset where we learn it's okay to make mistakes, as you know, and uphold excellence. I guess there's two or three there. So there's plenty more than five that we can get there, inshallah. I'm going to move on and then come back to some of the questions. So don't worry, I will come back to the questions in the Q&A bank. Ustad, we have, I think it's good to move into the four. We could talk a lot about the dilemmas in parenting, and I think that was a good sort of introduction or unpacking some of the dilemmas there. I'd like to move into the second part, if it's okay with our participants, inshallah ta'ala, because the second and the third part is where I want to deliver the essence of this webinar, inshallah ta'ala. So if it's okay for us all to move on. So, Ustad, in terms of our parenting leadership styles, and going back to what the science is, what are they and the pros and cons? So I guess, if I could just give you a preamble to this, folks. This is the work of Dr. Diana Baumrind in the 1960s. She was a psychologist who did some extensive research in looking at parenting experiences. And she came up initially with three styles, which we'll go into now. So she came up with three styles. Ustad will open them up shortly. And then 30 years later, in the 90s, there was Eleanor McCobie and I think it was John Martin. They then came out with a fourth one. So Ustad, over to you in terms of parental leadership styles, the four main ones that we know. So there are many, but the four main ones that we know.
Yes. Yeah, if you look at, there are many parenting styles, right? If you look at the first one, permissive. Now, permissive, from the image you can make of, there's chaos at home there. Can you not make it up? There's chaos there. And you find that where the parents allow anything is fine, right? There isn't the value system and whatnot, you know. And this particular parent believes I'm doing it out of love. Often what happens, you could understand the psychology of that particular parent. She, or if she's a female, there it looks like, right? She might have grown up in a home where the parents might have been, authoritarian. Right. So she's gone to the other extreme. Right. Because there's a saying that in giving our children what we did not have, we forgot to give them what we had. Right. So in this situation, anything goes. There are no boundaries there. There are no rules, as it were. So, for example, his writers, one person said, you're already incubating a monster. That's what you're already doing. Mm. So, in other words, they don't know what is right and what is wrong, because whether they do right or wrong, there's a similar kind of response from you or no response. So that's a permissive parent. The uninvolved parent, as it says, right? You can look at that father or mother, whatever, watching the television, completely oblivious of the little child that needs the nurture and the support, completely uninvolved. Nothing matters there. In fact, this is a parent who get a shock of their life much later when suddenly their child has become a deviant, defiant, becomes a criminal, or you know, whatever it is. Suddenly he says, I wonder what happened, right? So that's the uninvolved. The authoritative parent, they see there is a kind of bond where the parent asserts himself without being aggressive, where he's like a teacher, he's a nurturer, a carer, brings them to the side, right? And notice, I think he's holding the child by the hand also, trying to show them the way. In other words, there are values at home. There are things that are acceptable, but there is a bond, a relationship there, right? The authoritarian parent is a parent that is a person like a marshal, you know, like a army, right? You listen to my commands. You got no chance. You, as a child, you're walking on eggshells here, right? And you find, you know, that the child, the whole atmosphere is one of fear, where the personality is stifled, right? The growth is stifled. And you find that this parent over here shows no compassion, no empathy, does not show any kind of love. He just shows that he wants to be in control.
Right. Brilliant. Nicely put, Ustad. I think that's very well summarized the four main learning styles. So permissive, authoritative, and authoritarian were the three styles that Dr. Baumrind came out with in the 60s. And then the uninvolved one, which is one that emerged later as more research was done with the families. And this is a good way of summarizing, I guess, some of the things what Ustad, mashallah, has covered quite eloquently and concisely in a short few minutes. If you look at this diagram here, folks, and by all means, if you want to, slides will be available and, you know, the recordings will be available if you wanted to take a screenshot of that. What you have on this paradigm here is responsiveness is the warmth that a parent shows to the children. And what this word demandingness, it's an American word, right? This is like the level of control. The parent either has high or a low level of control, you know, with the child. So you got the warmth and the relationship, which is the responsiveness. It's either warm or it's low, or very low, very cold, or very lack of control or a lot of control. And you can see the four styles here: permissive, authoritative, uninvolved, and authoritarian. Okay, the way Ustad summarized, and there you can see some a breakdown of the four styles. And there's lots of work that's actually available. You can easily find this stuff on Instagram. You can find it on Pinterest, on lots of scholarly articles have been written on it. Videos have been made on this stuff. It's quite easy for you to find them. Don't worry, we're going to find, you should be able to assess yourself as well. If you have an honest evaluation towards the end of this webinar, we've got some recommendations where you can take tests to self-evaluate your style and, you know, have a mirror to yourself in terms of where you think you, what approach you think you're adopting based on a set of questions, inshallah. So I guess the biggest one was that you were touching upon there, and some questions that actually came in prior to this, in advance of this webinar were, well, how will my parenting style impact my child? So for example, if I'm authoritative, what are the benefits? And if you see on here, what I've done here is I've made it easy. I've pulled off some research that was done on the four styles in terms of the impact that they've done. You can see again from the screen on the right column, on the left column of each box, you can see what the style is, which is what Ustad Idris has already explained just now. And on the right side of the box, in other words, over here, for example, indulgent, you can see impulsive behavior, egocentric, poor social skills, problematic relationship. These are the impacts or the knock-on effects of your parental style on a child. And again, their research they're backed up by evidence and research that's been done in children. Anything you want to elaborate, Ustad, on the impact our parenting style has on our children?
No, parenting styles have a profound impact. I want to just share some, you see, the critical thing is this. We are not saying that as parents you must be overly indulgent, that you do not have disciplinary measures at home. We're not saying all of those things, right? But what is important, what is critical, is you've got to be actively engaged in them, get to know them, allow them to. If your children can share their fears with you, if they can, you know, for example, I think Hazrat Ali was said words to this effect. He said, for the first 7 years is a time of bonding. It's a time in which parents themselves are like a role model, right? From 7 to 14 in the time of instruction, discipline, learning, after it become a child's confidant. But I want to just share one incident, if I will. Now, part of the loving and bonding is so important. I mean, when I conduct workshops in many parts of the world, many people, because of culture, they say, you mean to say that I should hug my wife in front of my children? What are you saying? You know, what are you saying? You know, where is the evidence that I need to do that? You know, and so I'll give you one example. I will summarize this, but I think it's very, very instructive. One day, someone phoned me up and he said to me, you know, Brother Idris, My wife and I have an issue. I asked him, what is the issue? He said, well, my wife has never, ever in my 12 years of marriage demonstrated or expressed a love for me. He said, I can deal with that. I asked him, what you want to do? He said, I'm going to stay in the marriage. He said, I can deal with that, except I'm worried because we have a child and the child is not experiencing the mother's love. So I asked him, what do you, he said, well, I want to stay. He said, what about your wife? He said, I'm going to speak to her. So I spoke to her over the phone. She says, I want to stay, except my father said to me that if I do not come back home today, I must never come back. So it's quite clear that, there was this ongoing issues. I said, don't worry, I'll come there. Don't go to your father. And then, you know, Allah works in mysterious ways. So when he fetched me, he told me something and the penny dropped. He said to me, when my wife was 1 year old, her mother left them. I said, okay, fine. So anyway, I met the couple. I advised them. Then I asked her to hold her husband's hand and to address the husband as if he is her mother. What are those pent-up emotions she's experiencing? And Allah's blessing, it was so cathartic. I must share this with you. She said to the mother now, who is the husband's kind of the persona of the mother, said, mommy, 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 when I was a child, you never hugged me, ma. In fact, you left me, ma. Allah gave me such a beautiful child, loving. I do not know how to show that love, ma. Why? You and daddy never hugged me. And she was crying, and he was crying. Then she says, you know, mommy, Allah gave me such a wonderful husband, so affectionate, such a beautiful human being. But I never saw you and daddy hugging each other. Why, ma? Then they both got up, he hugged her. I asked her, how do you feel? He said, now I understand my life. I have got closure. And he says, now I understand my wife. And that was a tipping point. So those styles and everything else has a profound, indelible impact. And your same children, when they are much older, when they look back at your style, would begrudge you for things that were commonsensical. You didn't have to do research. To show love, I mean, you have to do research. Do you have to legislate love in a person's heart to love the child? So these are very, very important things, because these children are, in fact, your Jannah.
Wow.
They are your Jannah.
SubhanAllah. Absolutely. Thank you for that hard, deep reminder. That was quite deep, Ustad. Childhood upbringing and the trauma that we have in ourselves from our own upbringing impacts us massively in the way we deal with our spouse first and foremost, and then our children. Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us who are in these situations. There's lots of questions, Ustad, in the Q&A from Shabana, from anonymous person, Jamia, Saika, Muhammad Yameen. Fantastic questions. I'm just going to take this one, which I think is relevant to this particular slide here, from Ummatul Khair Sajad. Thank you for that question. Ustad, which style is the best? And I think Kim Malone's already responded, saying authoritarian, what is meant by expect blind obedience. So on the slide, it says authoritarian, it says expect blind obedience. And then Ummatul Khair is asking, which style is the best one from the four that we mentioned? I guess that's, that's the ultimate question of this.
You're correct.
Topic.
The best style is the authoritative. There's a big difference between authoritative. When you've got an authoritative style, you do not demand respect. You command it by your manner. Mm. Some people call that a teacher style. Teacher style, right? That to me is a great style. I found that you're able to gain more from connecting with your children, setting rules, being supportive, giving them their independence. In other words, creating a warm atmosphere. So in the authoritative style, G.
Kim, I think Ustad has just answered your question on that. But just to explain something that Sir Ken Robinson, in this book, which is called You, Your Child and School, he has a section on finding your parenting style. I thought it was really very well summarized. Don't worry, I'll put this in the links, but I also have a slide at the end summarizing his point. But to answer Kim's question about blind, I think the question was, on this slide, it says about blind following or blind obedience from the children, demanding it, but it's naturally something that comes as
You are freezing. You are frozen. I can't hear you.
Sorry. Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yeah. I just want to read this excerpt from the book of Ken Robinson, where he says, authoritative parents expect their children to follow the guidelines they set for them, but accept that these guidelines are a work in progress. So that's what you expect from them is blind obedience, but you don't demand it.
In fact, what you've got to bear in mind, authoritative style is also conscious parenting. They yes. are able yes. to engage children themselves, where they are themselves may point to you, know, daddy, you yesterday you did this, I really felt hurt. They can share that. And you say, my gosh, I did not know, you know, that my words were hurtful. So it is, you know, an engagement, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of comments that I'll just check very quickly here. There's one here from Sajid Book, mashallah. There's a thread across the styles. We need to always be cognizant of, but moderation and balance is key, as is what styles are more prevalent in different situations, and Allah knows best. That's a comment from Sajid Butt. And Ayub Sidat also, you've put a comment here, which it's powerful. It's not beneficial to whitewash our parents and grandparents' style. There are deep wounds that need to be addressed between the generations so that moving forward, we don't carry the same issues forward to our kids and grandkids. I think that's the fact.
I want to just respond to that. I think the critical thing is under no circumstances, their styles were appropriate for that particular time. Yeah, Hazrat Ali himself said that when you bring up children now, you must remember you're bringing them up for a time that you have not been exposed to. So it's important to understand the world has changed, right? So our grandparents and parents, Allah bless them for their values, their attitudes and whatnot, you know?
There's a comment here from Maliha Nawaz. Thank you very much. Good parenting can give headaches, but wrong parenting can give heartaches. I've actually read that in this book. I'll repeat that again. Good parenting can give headaches, but wrong parenting gives heartaches. I've actually read it. It's in here in this book. Okay, moving on, folks. We've just hit the half an hour mark, and we only have about 15 minutes before we need to let our honorable guests go.
Siri, I'm enjoying it so much. You know, I do not mind if you have a follow up on this, really. I think there's so much to be discussed here. It's so interactive, and Allah bless our erudite audience.
Mashallah, mashallah. Okay, fantastic. I just wanted to show you this slide to summarize, if you don't mind. This slide here about the impact on children. So I was doing some research as part of my reading, and this particular study, which was, you can see there's a slide share with the reference there. There's also a commentary on it. This was looking at the four styles, but it was looking at impact in four different ways of style. It was looking at self-image, emotions, social skills, and academics. In other words, the academic attainment. So it's assessing the different styles' impact on four different criteria. Right, and it's looking at self-image, emotion, social skills, and academics. And again, you can see here now, for example, the authoritarian one, you talked about low self-esteem, don't trust the feelings and weak behavior, don't get along with poor social skills. These are kids, children of authoritarian parents. This is what basically the research is showing, that they're hard to concentrate in, you know, the achievement levels are average. Their self-esteem is very low. They don't trust the feelings. They have weak behavior, poor social skills. We can see that. You know, if you look around you in your circles, you can see that as a reflection on some of the parents and looking at the children. Whereas what we talked about, authoritative, which we were saying is, largely speaking, ideally, authoritative is, they'd say that with the authoritative, children of authoritative parents are likely to be happy and successful according to authoritative parents. Why? Because on the self-image, children have high self-esteem, they're very assertive. Emotions, they trust the feelings, they regulate them well, they have self-control. Social skills, they're socially responsible, they're less peer pressure, they get along, empathetic, like you said, Ustad. And in academia, in their education, they learn well, they have more confidence, and they also are high achievers. This is what I was saying. And then you have the other two styles, and you can look through that. Take a screenshot of that. That's research that's been done over in the States. And I just thought it was a really good one in terms of measuring impact a bit more in four particular areas. And that was quite good. I'm just going to go past this, inshallah, Ustaz, because I think we've spoken quite a lot about Islamic parenting and the tarbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way he did it and how these styles fit in with Islamic perspective, because we've seen countless examples from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he was affectionate to his own children and then to wider community of the Sahaba. But then we also know examples where Sahaba came to him, and you cited one already, where, you know, the father was being unjust to his daughter by sitting his child on one lap and letting her sit on the side. And the Prophet responded with saying, do you not have a second lap? There's another example which you cited in the last webinar, was where the man came and said, I don't feel any affection or love towards my children. And the Prophet said, well, you know, you've been deprived of mercy from your heart.
Yes.
So we I think there's quite a lot there, mashallah, for us to take. And I would love, time permitting, I would love to do more on the emotional intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I think this section is where our guests, our participants would like us to look at which approach actually works best for our children, so we can adapt the individual approaches to ourselves. You've rightly mentioned throughout this whole webinar about our relationship with our spouse, you know, and in terms of as a marriage, and then obviously that output is parenting. So one size doesn't fit all. One leadership style doesn't fit all. And as Sajid was saying, it's a thread between all these different styles at different places, different times. And I think that's a really important point. And again, in this book, he does go through the importance of having situational leadership. So the looking at the needs of the child, when they need it, what they need, and when they need it, and then looking at the style that you need to adopt for that situation. And I think one of the things we can say, going back to the slide about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the remarkable thing about his tarbiyah and his prophetic leadership was he was a situational leader. Correct? He was dynamic. He wasn't static. And so I think that's fantastic. And it's what you say. What can you do if you or your spouse have opposing parenting styles? That's a question that basically has been put to us by Sarah Shiraz. I think that's a really good conversation to have. Okay. It's in the Q&A. So if you have parents, I've got it here, actually. It's actually coming up in further on. Sorry. That question, Sarah, can we take that question here?
Okay, let's take it, yeah.
We'll take this question here.
Okay. Okay. It's one here.
Yeah, the question. Yeah, so yeah, you can take this. This is the question. Okay. I just put ignore the slide. The question was, what can you do if you and your spouse have opposing parenting styles? We often see this. It's a bit of a joke because mums discipline their children completely different to parents. And you can see that from mum's car and dad's car example.
Okay. They also say, you know what, do you want to be a housekeeper or a homemaker? It's a big difference. A housekeeper or a homemaker. The important aspect is this, that now when people attend a seminar like this, it's important for the husband and wife, the mother and the father, to sit, to have a discussion where they do a self-appraisal, self-critical, and they look at what is best, the way forward. Because what happens, the moment one of the spouses is undermined by the other in front of the children, then that's a recipe for disaster. I got no issue if you'll disagree in front of the children. That's good. That's very, very good, right? So you will show them that even in a relationship, you can disagree, but you are respectful. People have opinions. But the moment you undermine each other, then it's problematic, because then you're incubating a monster. Children know how to manipulate that. I think it's important for the mother and father to sit down, have a thorough discussion, and then say, okay, fine, let us implement this from tomorrow onwards. Let's engage the children. And you have a conversation with them. Say, mommy and dad, we're speaking, we're reflecting, and we realize sometimes we do make mistakes, but we want to do what's best for your guys. At the same token, we want your opinion of how you think mommy and dad can be more effective.
I hope that answers your question, Sarah. It's a good question on this slide. Someone's asking, which book am I referring to? The link will be put in chat. It's by Sir Ken Robinson. I think this was his last book he wrote and published before he passed away. It's called You, Your Child, and School. It's an excellent book, I must say. And I didn't know this when we were developing the series. I didn't have this book in my hand. but it resembles the series superbly well, or the series rather resembles this book really, really well. It's a fantastic book, Ustad.
I could just add something about him.
Yeah.
He is a person that was really an authority on creativity, right?
Yeah.
And I want to just share this. I think it's important. As parents, we've got to understand that one of the beautiful qualities besides kindness and generosity, the skill is of creativity. There was a study that was done, which I would like to share. The study was of 1,000 children between the ages of 4 and 5. They were tested for their creativity. 95% tested creative geniuses. The same children between the ages of 8 and 10, the percentage went down to 32%. The same children between the ages of 13 and 15, it went down to 12%. Then they tested 20,000 odd adults, only 2% were tested creative geniuses. So what is happening? We are either schooled out of creativity, our homes are stifling that. And today, what is required to thrive in our society is people that are creative.
Thank you so much, Ustad. Absolutely. That I think, was that Stanford University's research?
Yes, Stanford University.
That's right, correct. Yeah. It's a famous research that was done in terms of creativity of children and then following them into the adult life. They went from 94% to abysmal 2%. Something went wrong in the lives, and it's either schooling or parenting, as you say, Ustad. There's lots and lots of questions that have come in, and I'm on the slide, or the section rather, which is to do with, let's look at some scenarios here. Okay, so scenario one, Ustad, let me throw this to you, right? Scenario one, you have a 14-year-old child who doesn't want to pray. And by the way, the ones who put the scenarios in the Q&A, I'm going to come on to you in between these, inshallah. So I've got a few scenarios, Ustad. What would you say is the right parenting approach, in your opinion, for a 14-year-old child who doesn't want to pray? Would you be authoritative, authoritarian, permissive, or laissez-faire?
I think, you know, I don't want to compartmentalize it, right? But what I want to say, I think the first thing, the mother and father need to have a discussion and asking them the question, why is it that our child doesn't want to pray? They need to reflect on their own mistakes, because, you know, what's very, very important that when they say you need to introduce Salah at the age of 7, if they do not read at the age of 10, you can beat the child. The assumption is, long before the child was 7, the child saw mommy and daddy reading. And children mimic adult behavior. So if there was an error on your part, so you need to reflect on it, right? Then what you need to do is to identify, to have a conversation with the child, right? Mm. And promote the idea of Salah. And in Islam, it's all about gradualism, a step-by-step approach. Telling, okay, today, inshallah, today you and I will pray Maghrib together today, slowly, and let him see the benefits of it. You also get to know, remember, this is a time, these are teenagers, they are, you know, children that like to rebel and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is get to know who the friends are, and drip by drip approach, you can make a difference. Now, the one point I want to make, it is not enough to tell the children the what and how of Salah. It is important why you're reading Salah. But that's a question. We are part of a plural society. Kids from other faiths ask, but why do you read Salah? When they themselves do not have the answers, it almost diminishes their faith. You know?
So there's a question also here. It's a difficult one from a sister. I hope you don't mind me reading it like this. I was raised by a high-tempered mother. I'm going to read this because it could be common for some of us. She lives with me and my own family. I cannot have a proper conversation with her, and it has affected me mentally. Another issue is that she favoritizes my younger brother. Sorry. In her eyes, he is perfect. I feel ashamed of her behavior to me, but no one else outside my house has seen this. Now, the question is, what can I do as I despair of my mother's disgusting behavior? My children see all of this.
Well, I think, you know, a critical thing, she's your mother, and I'm not saying, and parents themselves are not infallible. Sometimes what might be obvious to you may not be obvious to her. You know, you'd be surprised. And I think whether, you know, you should engage her, if you could, in a very loving way, and share with her your feelings without being disrespectful. And that's on one level. I mean, I cannot exhaust the response to this program. At the same token, I think it's important that you do not make a mistake with your children. And you must make an excuse for your mother. You must not undermine her in front of your children. Because this issue about, you know, that parents sometimes are prejudicial or they give someone preferential treatment is a very, very common thing. But sadly, they themselves do not see it. You know?
I think
and maybe, maybe also you need to speak to your sibling and ask the sibling on your to speak to mommy without it making it her issue. In other words, say to mommy, I see sometimes you do this to her. I know it's not right, you know, in that way. So get someone else to be your ambassador, inshallah.
Zahra's made a good comment in, she's responding to Sajid's comment in chat. I thought it was a good one to mention at this point. You know, we see things always as black and white and hunky-dory and nice and bad. Well, actually, I think a couple of years ago, many of us might have seen the movie Inside Out, which looked at child behavior and mental health and looked at what's going on inside of children's heads. What we learned from that movie was that actually, you know, you have joy, you have fear, you have emotions, different four or five types of different emotions at play. And sadness, we all look at sadness and we see joy. Most of us want to be joyful and think sadness is a bad thing. But actually what that movie teaches us is that we do need those emotions. Sometimes we need to feel sad, and sadness can make us, you know, find our true self again. And so Zahra's made something very similar as a comment to replying to Sajid in the inbox, which is we need to model conflict management. So in a crisis situation, we can, like you said earlier, we need to turn the negatives into positives. Ustad, I think you were talking about that earlier. So we need to model conflict management. In other words, if children never see their parents disagree, they will never learn this art and will go into a marriage expecting that they will never have conflict disagreements with their partner. But the reality is that's not true. So so there's a positive to it. There's a positive side to it.
In fact, I want to say this because you mentioned earlier on, I didn't want to reinforce it. One of the most beautiful gifts you can give your children is a gift of emotional intelligence. It's the greatest gift. It's the most effective antidote to marital issues. And it's so important. It is so important is that you experience the emotions, but it is what you articulate when you're going through those emotions is important, you know.
Absolutely. Another question is, if you have a narcissistic parent, do you have to keep the ties of kinship with them? That's a tough one.
Yes, you should. You should. But it's important is about how you manage them, right? If you are able to understand and who they are, you'll understand exactly how they operate. So you need to be civil and polite, right? You don't have to, in a sense, get into a situation where you become argumentative and so on and so forth. Just be polite and civil and make dua for them. Make dua for them, right? I'm no narcissist parent will say, hey, I'm a narcissist, right? Very few of them, right? But if they are uncles, aunts, or the friends in which you are close with, perhaps, you know, you could whisper and asking them, you know, just to help dad, because narcissists, the parents themselves, let me tell you, they require a lot of help, a lot of help.
Perhaps irreparable? So we can see countless examples again from the seerah where took to the Sahaba, men, women, in fact, his own wives, respect the parents, even sometimes they were not Muslim. Sometimes, whether, I can't make a judgment. Even when they were not Muslims, even when they were of a different faith, respecting your parents, he instructed his own wife to do that to Abu Sufyan.
And also there's another point, you see. The point is this, you got to ask yourself, why am I being consumed by it? Why am I allowing to get underneath my skin? And that's an important aspect, you see. So if you, you got to also look at your self-esteem and your EQ, look at it. Develop those things, and then you'll be able to manage it far more effectively. Because you know what? You need to be present all the time in whatever situation. Do not be consumed by things behind you or things you just experienced a little while ago.
Ustad, just on that point, because this question comes up quite regularly, even when it comes to abusive parents and it comes to, you know, lots of different sort of toxic relationships. And we say that the ideal approach, the high moral ground, is to be better to people, return a bad with a good. But I think we have to also be very careful. We establish healthy boundaries where they're not able to harm or damage us. That's something that I think that is worth
addressing. No, that's true. That is very, very true. Where you need to assert yourself without being malicious. Where you assert yourself, you do it for the goodness of the other person. And sometimes, you know what, sometimes it might take the whole family to sit with the father and say, Daddy, you know what, we know that you love us, but you may not understand the impact you are having on our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in fear of you. We only say things that is palatable to you, because you're not prepared to listen to anything else, you know, and that has to be discussed. It has to be done. And it requires a united front to do it. In the end, Allah judges us by the effort, not the outcome. You do whatever you can and you need to move on, you know.
Okay, all right. I'll take a few more questions towards the end of this webinar. There's some good ones in the Q&A section there. Just looking back at the scenarios, let's just go back, not that we have to stay on these scenarios. A child, so Ustad, just conscious of time because we've gone over, but very quickly, one more from this scenario. Let's take this one here. A scenario where a college student who's spendthrift and he doesn't, or she doesn't, you know, hold on to the money. How would you nurture this child here? And they're now hitting 17, 18 years of age. They've got a lot of money and they're spending it all.
Yeah, you see, the thing is this, that perhaps there is a history with this person, right? Given whatever you have, living a life of instant gratification, there is no consequences. In fact, you are perpetuating this kind of cycle. I think this person needs to be set down, and you've got to start attaching consequences. Say, you know what? Okay, after you had a chat with them, then you're asking him, okay, what are you going to do the next month or whatever in terms of when I give you your pocket money? How are you going to manage it, right? What are you going to do, right? And he must be told quite clearly, if there is a recurrence of this, sadly, we are either going to withdraw your pocket money altogether, we would like you to be self-supporting. I'm just giving this as a knee-jerk example. I think that's important. You've got to attach consequences. The damage instant gratification does is unbelievable.
Of course. And this is a lot deep-rooted in our 0 to 9 years of age, early childhood as opposed to later. What we're seeing here is the long-term effects, the outcome, not the inputs. Okay. I think we've got to move on because there's important ones again. Even if you have a child with, you know, a learning disability, or there's so many variances, and your style will have to adapt. But you've got to be aware. I guess the key thing that's coming out of this webinar is being aware of the different types of styles. First thing, and then matching that up to the needs of the children. So whether that's someone with a learning disability, whether that's a child with a behavioral issue, whether that's a child with mental health illness, or someone who's basically.
But Sajid, I want to stop you there one moment, right? I would not call it a learning disability. I would say learning differently. Word disability has negative connotations. Absolutely. Learning differently, and it's important. And you know what? I came across this the other day. This one lady, she's got a PhD, but they had to remove 25% of her brain under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people who are doing great things. So I think it's about learning differently.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much for that, Ustad. You admonished me publicly, and I liked it.
I like it. I
love it, absolutely. And I read when I was in the Middle East, where I was in Dubai, they call them pods, PODS. And I couldn't understand what pods was because I just saw people with wheelchairs giving priority access. And then I realized it's people of determination. So it's how you see it. Yeah. But absolutely, I think it's a really good point. Now, we don't have time, folks. And I think you're absolutely right, Ustad. We do need to have a follow-up on this, inshallah. But there was lots of questions about, you know, the approaches that we take with boys and girls? Is there a different style of parenting for girls? Is there a different style of parenting for boys? It's a difficult one, this one, because we've got to stay within, like you said, the equity. I think you were talking about equality versus equity when it comes to parenting. And is there a different style which is required for each one? I don't know. We've talked about the styles between which one's a good one for dad and which one's a good one for mum. I think we kind of touched upon that. This was kind of a bit of a humor that we have where mums yell and dads are easy and mums are very much like protective. And there is a fifth style, which on the other side of the spectrum, Ken Robinson talks about it, helicopter mum or helicopter parent. Is not necessarily always a mum. It's just a stereotype that it's usually the mum, but helicopter parents. And, you know, he talks about the downside of the negative impacts of basically having children with no confidence because the mum's always been there or the dad's always been there looking over them. So there's lots of things that we need to explore.
You know, Sajid, you know, I know our brother Sajid Bhatt is there, Allah bless him, right? I was just contemplating, right, that maybe sometimes this year, if I could come over to the UK and we could do a two-day program.
Brilliant.
For all of them, really, because this is just you touching the surface here.
Absolutely. We're touching the surface here.
And those that are attending are happy with it, just raise your hands, please. So I want to see it.
Please raise your hands. So, mashallah, we've got lots. We've got 12, 13, 14, 15, 19, 20, 26, 27, 30, 31, 30. Come on, let's go. Go, go. 93.
Let's go.
All the way. Come on.
If he doesn't touch 50, then I'm calling it off, right?
Don't break his heart. Come on. We need 50.
Don't break my heart.
Mashallah. Thank you so much for all those who raised your hand. I can just say something. I will say something independently here. Okay. Ustaz is not paying me for this or anything like that. I met you at a parenting workshop in London, Ustad, many, many years ago. And I'll tell you what, it was a fascinating 2 days at the University of St. Mary's. It was a fascinating 2 days. I walked out completely refreshed and transformed. I was like, wow. I walked out learning to unlearn more than learning to learn new things. I learned lots of new things, but I learned that I had to unlearn a lot of things. And that was many, many years ago. And my children were very young then. So I thank you so much for that workshop. And I think, folks, another 2 day workshop in central England somewhere, you know, or around the regional workshops would be fantastic with Ustad Idris, mashallah. Okay, that we've gone well over Ustad. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to end the conversation here because I respect it's your iftar. Anytime soon, you need to pray and you need to prepare for iftar. And our guests also, mashallah, who've been very patient with us and stayed with us, mashallah, we've had over 90 people on Zoom and hundreds more on Eventbrite tuning in and streaming in, alhamdulillah, and chat is still going and question and answer is still going, and I would like to just make sure we just have some time for one-to-one.
I'm in South Africa. Someone wants to know where am I based. I'm in South Africa.
Brilliant. Folks, I'll finish on a couple of things from my side and then we can relax with Ustad Idris. Those who want to carry on can do, and if he wants to continue, inshallah, for a few more minutes afterwards, we can do. I've just got a couple of slides I want to finish up on now. So if you want to now go away and get more self-evaluation or self-awareness, where do you go? What are the key links for you know, further development? So there's three here on the screen, which have been inserted into chat now. These are tests that I've done. And you've got a basic one, which is 15 questions. Intermediate one, I think, is about 42 questions. I like that one, the middle one. The advanced one's quite good. It's actually a PDF, so you have to print it off, put it in, add your scores up. It's one of those old manual ones, right? But the old is gold, as they say, because I like the third one. Third one actually shows you in order of three, your strongest one, your second strongest one, and your third strongest, parenting style. I like the advanced one, but it's old school. If you don't want to do that, you just want something that's digital, the intermediate one. This will be quite good for you to look at your parental styles in honest reflection. Don't tell us, or don't tell the computer or the survey or the test what you admire of yourself or fantasize about yourself or what you should have been. Talk about what you are and what you have been doing in an honest way, because you need an honest reflection. You need an honest marker as to where you are today. That will allow you to reflect upon your parental style, and do two or three different ones because each one has different ways, but they're really fantastic tools that are available at our disposal, mashallah, free of charge. Get yourself tested on that. And it's a starting point. Remember one thing, this is not medical advice. This is not brain science. This is just psychometric testing or psychology that's been put together and tested on many, many people. It's a starting point for you to see where you are and what you need to do to grow as a parent. Now, also following on from the last webinar, which was on emotional intelligence, we talked about MBTI, Myers-Briggs personality testing. And whether you are an INFJ or ISFP or ENTJ or ENFJ, right? You can actually Google this, Myers MBTI parental styles. So this is, I should have had it here. I've looked at it so many times. That's quite good. That looks at Myers-Briggs from the lens of parental style. So it merges these four styles, authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, you know, laissez-faire, with the personality types. And it shows that the, what's the typical of an ENFJ with the parents. It shows you the pros and the cons. What's typical of an INTJ? I think it's quite fascinating because we've already had a session on this to follow on from that. You can Google that. There's plenty of sites who actually do that. It's quite good. Now, in terms of further learning and where you want to go from here, you want to continue your personal development, I've cited three because these are ones I can trust and these are ones I know. But there are many, many, many more than these. Okay, there's a lot. Alhamdulillah, 10 years ago, I remember looking for this and there weren't many. We didn't have many faith-based qualified practitioners, you know, nuanced for particularly for Muslims who wanted Islamic parenting and not just someone who's a coach, but certified coaches or people with counseling background, with parental background, with pedagogical science and different sciences that go with parenting, marriage counselors. Today, mashallah, we have quite a few sisters for sisters, brothers for brothers, mixed families, you know, people in different circumstances, people with trauma. Lots of, mashallah, parenting and marriage courses are available now. I'm just going to cite three that I can vouch for because there's no point putting something here that I haven't vetted or I haven't experienced. That would be wrong of me. Ustad Idris, as I already mentioned to you, if you go on to idriskhamisa.com, Ustad, that site is still working. Is that right?
I hope so. Right. I hope so. I just want to say a few words. I want to go.
Yeah, of course.
If I could. Jazakumullah for the very, very kind invitation. I regard each one of you as my brothers and my sisters, and I pray that you're able to transform the home. The challenges are so many. I say we are living at a time where the ummah is bleeding, you know, and the home should be a place in which it is happy, a place that we're moving positively. And so I want to wish you well. And psychologists have said if you do not change within 48 hours after a presentation, it's unlikely you're going to change. So I pray you will be able to change. You come together, look after yourself. Thank you so much. Someone is saying, if all three come together and have a family retreat, all of us, Zahra, you and I.
Inshallah. Okay. Inshallah. Zahra.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Remember us in your prayers. Remember my mom and dad. My mother-in-law is not well at all, 95 years old.
Wow.
And remember us in South Africa, as I would remember all of you, inshallah.
Thank you, Sad. Thank you. Take care. Inshallah. Remember Zuni Iftar Duas, please. Thank you so much for joining in, inshallah. The rest of us, I'll just finish on a few slides. Ustad, thank you so much. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
So, folks, as I was saying, inshallah, just if you bear with me, there's three things that you can look at, I can mention here. These are the ones I know. So, you got to Ustad Idris. Last session we had Mariam from Nurturing Learners. She's a parent, certified parent coach. So if sisters want to go on to her course, I think we mentioned she was doing a course on raising yourself, very similar to this. It's a good follow on from here. Raising yourself as mothers, mashallah, fantastic feedback about her work. And for those of you who do know, you'll know we run a parents retreat, family retreat rather. This is a parents retreat. So we are looking at, with lots of feedback from parents, mashallah, about running a retreat for mums, perhaps mums and daughters, and dads and lads. So this is a retreat that we are well known for and we love organizing. These are retreats that we are looking for. Can I just have a show of hands of, if you could raise your hand, if anybody would be interested, inshallah ta'ala, for these retreats, which we take you away in the UK and possibly abroad, but they're very much focused on coaching you and getting the best out of you and transforming you in an environment away from home in downtime. And we do that for families. Those of you being, mashallah, know that, how fantastic that retreat goes. This is specific parenting. And we could have someone like Ustad Idris join us, actually, for that retreat. He would be brilliant. So workshops on play and learning and reflection and, you know, the environment is mashallah, such that we are transformed and we reflect on learning. And we've got two upcoming webinars, inshallah. The first one is on webinar 6. Last two webinars of this series is one on Saturday. That just needs to be confirmed. I think it should be live shortly. And that just, we just need to confirm. We have a speaker, inshallah, we just need to confirm. And that 7 extracurricular clubs that children need before adulthood, that's going to be a fantastic one, because we've got this dilemma of how do we upskill our children holistically? We know schools can only go so far. Madrasas can go only so far. Neither of them doing it holistically. Mashallah, they're doing it well, but not holistically. So we have to top up. And our timetables are already very, very tight. So the dilemma that we have as parents is, well, how do we squeeze in all the other clubs, and what clubs are there, and what skills do they need? What key life skills do our children need before adulthood? So it's different for preteens or tweens, as we call them, and it's different for teenagers or adolescents. And so we're going to look at that, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to be inviting one or two speakers who have confirmed in principle. We're just waiting for that confirmation to go through. That's Saturday, and I believe that's at 3 o'clock. The next one is looking at the Muslim schools and madrasas where our children go. Are they preparing children? And this is a critical conversation to have. Are they preparing children for the future, or are they doing what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warned us against, which is they were preparing them for a time that isn't today. It's a time that we were growing up. In other words, yesterday. I'm really, really happy to announce that Dr. Farah Ahmed, mashallah, who's at Cambridge University, who runs a school, Muslim school, and she's a researcher, will be leading that session on Sunday. And we have two other guests, inshallah ta'ala, who will be joining us. So that's again at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Please, please, please spread the message. Join us, inshallah ta'ala. You've got this far. For those of you who've been traveling with us for the last 5 webinars, you've got this far. Only 2 more to go, inshallah ta'ala. And that will be the finale and conclusion to this amazing 7-part series, alhamdulillah. So, couple of takeaway points, folks, before I shoot off here. Anybody want to tell me what you've taken away from this? Any quick points? Anybody want to tell me what the main learning points have been for this session? Anybody want to tell me what the main learning takeaway points are? There will be a recording of previous webinars. We are working on a library, so you'll have 5-minute videos. You'll have the full webinar, and you'll also have the downloadable resources. We're going to try to put everything together in one place for you. Make sure you register, though, because that's the way to you'll be emailed, and inshallah that digital library will be made available to you free of charge, inshallah. That's the best thing that we can do in terms of our sadaqah contribution to the ummah during these blessed days, inshallah. To show more compassion, make your home a sanctuary. Thank you, Luqman. Sidra, love should, sorry, miss, express love, emotions, care. Let me just put this on. So we've got first 5 years of your child is critical in terms of shaping attitude of children. Express love, emotions, and care from Jamia. Thank you. You know, love should be at the center of parenting. For good upbringing, you need a loving environment at home. Ustad mentioned the 6 A's. Thank you, Zulfa. You know, which were affection, affirm them, attention. These are not in the order. I've only mentioned 3. You know, so there's lots of learning that took place. I just want to cite a couple of things from this book that I mentioned from you as a chapter. So if you haven't got this, I'm just going to cite this for you anyway. And it goes like this. As a summary, your own upbringing, background, or circumstances that influence heavily your natural style, okay, to parenting. Not necessarily, natural style might not be the right one, but your natural style is heavily influenced by upbringing, background, and circumstances, which the Ustad touched upon. The authoritative style is the ideal style for most parents, okay? Children under the authoritative parents are likely to have a happy and successful life. That's the ideal one. However, no one size fits all, and not everyone is cut out for this particular style. Parenting requires a dynamic approach where, you know, with situational leadership. In other words, scenario-based, different situations, you take, as Sajid said, there's a thread between all of them, and you've got to be able to pick the right one in the right time. Why? Because relationships evolve over time. There's so many variances, you know. How do you deal with the eldest child compared to the younger sibling, right? How do you deal with boys and girls? How do you deal with teenagers? How do you deal with children who listen and those who don't? And everyone's the same. So children need parents for different things at different points in their life. Okay, that's the point. And therefore, our approach needs to be flexible enough that we give what they need and when they need it. And that's not in terms of, you know, make it easy for them. That's in terms of where they're at. So we need to find our natural style, I guess the key learning point is, and work on that in light of the needs of our children. We also need to be aware of the parenting styles of our co-parents. There's a big conversation we've been having. What Ustad said there was about parenting is the natural output of a marriage, not the other way around. Marriage comes first. So we need to be aware of our parenting style of our co-parents and how children will be affected by them too. And often, as he cited, that biggest divorce reason is because there's a conflict between the parents in terms of, you know, the parenting styles. And this is so common. And we do need to work on that through counseling and therapy and reflection time between the couple. And last but not least is know your role. Remember, you can't control this soul. All you can do is actually create the best conditions and opportunities for your child to grow. I think this is the best thing I can leave you with, is that know your role. Remember, you can't control their soul. All you can do or hope to do is create the best conditions and opportunities for your child to grow. Okay, go back to the example of the cultivator, the farmer, and the conditions around sowing the seed and the maintenance that goes into raising a strong, healthy bud. Okay, and the final thing, I guess, to sum it up in is this point, is that knowing your role is only half of the equation. The other half is knowing your child. And I think we've done some justice, or we've started the conversation on this point in the last two webinars, webinar number 4 on emotional intelligence, knowing yourself and your child's personality types, love languages, and then following on to what leadership styles you have or can have or should adopt in the different scenarios. I think it's been a good, mashallah, time invested. I hope you feel the same. Please do leave us comments in the support section, supporters in the comments section. Let us know how we're doing. And if you do want to get in touch, inshallah ta'ala, please get in touch on the contact details. Now, some of you have asked, how do you get in touch with the retreat? Now, I will say one thing. The retreat will be for 200-300 people, and it will sell out in 24 hours like the last one did, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be disappointed. To avoid disappointment, and we don't like disappointing people, but it's just the way it is. There's a lot of demand for it. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Please drop us an email and register early. Either get into the subscription mailing list, or drop us a message on the WhatsApp number. It's free. And you'll get the details straight away, or email us in asking us to put you towards the shortlist, inshallah ta'ala. That shortlist and our mailing list, in other words, on WhatsApp, will be the first ones to get the details of that event as and when it's, inshallah, confirmed. Inshallah, it's going to be a great one again this summer. So thank you so much, folks. There you have it. We are at the end of webinar number 5. Thank you so much for patiently staying with me, and alhamdulillah for all your contributions. And I think it was a fantastic webinar, as always, mashallah, and another one to our collection. Inshallah, we're going to carry on with this and build resources for you, the parents. We are guided by you. We love your love. We love your warmth. And we do encourage you to keep giving us suggestions about what it is that you need. What's your burning dilemmas? Do send your questions in, because they're research for us. And inshallah, me and my team will do our very, very best to come up with research and evidence-backed solutions for you and your family, inshallah. I would all ask you to please recommend this series to at least 3 friends. And if you're a dad out there, we need more males, we need more brothers, we need more dads joining in, because the sisters, mashallah, are always constantly and consistently leading the way. And Allah bless our women folk in our community, mashallah. Allah give us guidance to our men folk, myself first and foremost, inshallah ta'ala, and give us a sakama. May Allah bless you, go well, and thank you so much once again. And I will end it here and request your du'as at iftar time for the Ilm to Amal team and our speaker and his pet mum, who started Idris's mum in South Africa, who's not well. Also, South Africa has a flood right now in the area where Ustad Idris is, in Durban. Please make dua for the Muslims and for all the people of the world, wherever they may be, whatever difficult they may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Grant us afiyat. Jazakumullahu khaira. Barakullah feekum. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.